encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Romans 1:17. You can begin from verse 16. I want to share with us tonight on a message I've titled Receiving from God Under Any Condition. Because we have come to discover that most times the vicissitudes of life is just unpredictable. Life moves in such a zigzag, unpredictable manner. It therefore behoves you to build a consistent pattern. And for you to do that, there are secrets that you must understand. Life may be designed to go up and down, but you can decide that yours will go forward and upward only. It depends on what you know and what you are willing to engage. And so you must know what to do to keep receiving from God regardless of circumstances. In Romans 1:16, Paul wrote to the church, and here was his emphasis: how salvation is procured. The technology of procuring salvation is a technology of power. It is not a token. The devil will not let go of anyone until power is deployed and until he knows how to maximize it. And so Paul summarized his gospel. He said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." He said, first to the Jews and then to the Greek, or the Gentiles, if you will put it. He said, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Three things Paul outlined here. Number one, it took power for the gospel and for salvation to be made available to you. Number two, you can bank on this reality because it is predicated on the righteousness of God, not your righteousness. And number three, the technology of receiving it is tied to your faith in God. This triangle is what brings victory, liberty, and a glorious life. Understanding that everything about a victorious living was a product of the demonstration of God's power. The devil has no courtesy. The devil has no good in him. And he's not a being that would want to let you go. And so God knew that this thing has no place for negotiation. How are you doing? go to see you. You are in the country. You are welcome. The devil will not let you go. And so because God knows there's no ground for negotiation, he came with enormous power and he destroyed the kingdom of darkness. This is why 1 John chapter 3 verse 8 says, "For this cause was the Son of Man made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Salvation is not a reality that was negotiated. It was a reality that was seized by power. And Paul, reiterating this thing in Colossians 2:14, he said, "Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them by the cross." So there was a battle and Christ triumphed. So the message I came to deliver to you is a testimony of the battle that took place and how that Christ won. However, the victory is not for Christ. He has no basis fighting the devil. He has no need fighting the devil. He is the Lord of all. He is the God of the devil. He created the devil. The devil is living today because of his benevolence. But the whole idea behind that battle is that God decided to remove his godhood and he took the place of your manhood. So he fought the devil as a man. If he fought the devil as God, it would have been unjust because there's no basis for fighting. So God had to strip himself of divinity and put upon the garment of a man. So it was as a man that he fought the devil and conquered the devil. And so he said that there is no reason for you to be enslaved anymore. That's why he called it power unto salvation, power unto deliverance, power unto victory. So there's no basis for you to be a victim anymore. The battle has been fought. Christ has won. So the testimony I brought to you is to awaken you to an understanding that this thing you are fighting has already been fought and victory has been secured. And then this victory that was secured is available to you if only you can believe. That's why I said the access the just man has to this reality is faith, and it's from faith to faith. So the journey begins from faith. It continues in faith. It ends in faith. So any aspect of the victory you want to secure is not in fighting. It's in believing. So you believe your way into victory. And he also went further to add an insurance. He said, this is not cunningly devised fables. This whole testimony is based on the righteousness of God. So it is God's integrity, on the strength of God's integrity, that this message is validated. That the devil is conquered. The victory is yours. If you believe, you can take it. And you can bank on it because God's integrity is in the matter. So if I believe God to be delivered from sickness, it's God's integrity that I'm putting on the line. So it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God. That's why the psalmist said, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So every time you are believing God, the matter is beyond your circumstance. The day you say, "Father, I believe," God's integrity comes to the line. If I tell you now, go and open that door. The reason you are going to open that door is because you believe that, number one, I know the door is open. Number two, I know the door can be opened. Number three, if you go there, you will open the door. So the whole activity is not based on you. It's based on your trust in me. And you trust me because you have an understanding that I have some level of integrity. So if you go to that door, the audacity with which you approach that door is a revelation of your faith in my integrity. So every time we believe God for something, we are telling God, we know you are a king and we know you have integrity. We know you cannot lie. We know you cannot deceive. There's no guile in you. So God is happy when we believe in him. Because when we believe in him, we are making a testimony, a statement that is righteous. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." He said, "Therein is the faithfulness, the righteousness, the integrity of God revealed." And it is from glory to glory. It's from faith to everyone who is justified. So when somebody shows up and said, The Bible said, by his stripes I'm healed. I believed it and I was healed. What is he saying? He's telling you that God is not a liar. He's telling you that God is faithful. So beyond the healing, there is a revelation underneath that this God can be believed. That this God has integrity. So every time we gather in a service like this, worshiping God, trusting God for a touch, we are making a statement that this God has integrity. This God can be trusted. So God is predisposed to do for us much more than we expect. This is why whatever it is you went through before you came here no longer matters. It doesn't matter for how long it has been. It doesn't matter how terrible the condition has been. Now, the integrity of God is on the line. The question is, can you believe? If you have this baseline understanding, you will become radical about receiving from God. Listen, I can believe God for anything because the moment I have it, it becomes a further attestation to God's faithfulness. It becomes a further attestation to God's righteousness. This is why we boast in the Lord. This is why we brag in the Lord. This is why we are audacious in God. Because we are bragging that our God is righteous. We are bragging that our God is faithful. See, what you can believe God for is a testimony of the degree to which you know his faithfulness. It's a testimony of the degree to which you know his integrity. So a man who cannot believe God is invariably making a statement that God has no integrity. But there's no one here tonight who does not believe God has no integrity. And so I make bold to tell you, beyond what you came for, you will receive. Acts chapter 14, verse 8 to verse 10. Let me show you a scripture. I'm trying to build the background. Because tonight, God will heal on the strength of the integrity of his word. And so I need you to understand a few things before we make declaration. Paul was in Lystra preaching to people the way I'm preaching now. And this is what the Bible captures in this portion of the story. It says, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. I'm trying to compare your circumstance with the veracity of God's word and the integrity of God's word. The guy was impotent, he was crippled from his mother's womb, and he has never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him. You would understand why Paul was bold to make that statement in Romans 1:16. He said, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. So Paul saw faith in the guy. And he was hearing the infallible word of God. Remember, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. So as far as Paul was concerned, when he was talking the gospel, he was releasing power. But the power will only work for the one who believes. So when he saw this man and perceived faith in him, hear what Paul said. Paul said with a loud voice. That means when the word is spoken and people believe, the equation is complete. The faithfulness of God is always constant. The righteousness of God is always constant. The variables are the word going forth and the faith of the people. If you can proclaim the word and the people can believe, it is done. And see what the Bible said. It said Paul spoke with a loud... He knew that the equation is balanced. So he could speak with audacity. With a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. How can you talk to a man who is crippled from his mother's womb? Do you know how many nerves are dead? Do you know the impact it has on his brain? Do you have an idea? Because this guy was not only impotent, he was crippled. Most likely, the bones were dry, the legs were bent. And when you look at him, you will know this guy has never attempted to walk. Why did Paul overlook the circumstance? He knew something about God's integrity. And immediately the Bible said, the man leaped up. That means the first time the man stood up, it didn't work well. As he was struggling, Paul didn't care. It doesn't matter. Your circumstance no longer matters. As far as I am concerned, if faith collides with the word, there must be manifestation. So the man may have struggled for a while. The Bible didn't tell us for how long. It could be for 1 minute. It could be for 30 minutes. It could be for 1 hour. But Paul was not moved. After he lived for a while, the Bible said he began to walk. Because through faith, we understand that the worlds were created by the word of God. And the things which are were not made from the things which do appear. A womb may not be there. Wait until the word comes and your faith collides with it. You may not have a heart. Wait until the word comes. There may be no business. Wait until the word comes. Everything that you see today was created from nothing. It's a collision between faith and the word. Tonight, whatever that circumstance is, even if it's a mountain, the greater the problem, the better the manifestation. The greater the problem, the higher the excellency of faith. And I prophesy over you, that affliction will go down tonight. You heard when our brother was testifying. Some of you will leave this service, and when you go out next week, they will look at you and say, "What happened?" You will tell them, "Faith happened. What happened? Jesus happened." Somebody shout!
Oh, to double where no,
oh, he be the end. I thought he'd be me.
Sit down for a moment. Some of you will not only be touched, you will leave this service and you too will start demonstrating God. See, why do you think? You think the fathers of old were foolish? The very first book that was authorized after the Synoptic Gospel was not written by any apostle. It was written by Dr. Luke. But they chose it first because it's called Acts of the Apostles. They needed you to know that everything Jesus did, people were also called to do the same. You will leave this service and you will become an actor of Jesus. You will demonstrate the character of Jesus. You will demonstrate the power of Jesus. If I'm talking to you, your amen will be louder.
Oh, you mean me?
Before I show you how to receive under any circumstance, let me go further in establishing basis why we dare to believe the way we believe. Number one, and I give you just three of them. Number one, we were invited. See, we sat on our own. We were not even wise. Is that my brother Akash? Go to see you. How is it going? Come and sit here. God stop up. Good to see you. Celebrating. He's laboring for the Lord. Sit down, sir. Sit down. It's not a ritual. It's just a chair. It's for order. It's for order. Now, we just sat on our own. We were not even wise enough to know we needed God. The Bible said in Isaiah 53 verse 6, it said, "All we like sheep have gone astray." All of us walked in our own ways. We were not wise enough to know we needed God. We were not smart enough to choose God. It was God who invited us. If somebody invites you to his home and says there is a banquet, come and eat. He knows what he has to make that invitation. So your job is to make sure you are hungry before you go there. If you don't go there hungry, means you don't know who invited you. If somebody tells you, today is a banquet, come and eat and celebrate. The best way to go there is to go very hungry, because there is enough for everyone. He knows his capacity. That's why he invited you. So it was God who invited us. The Bible said, why we were yet sinners, while we were going in rebellion, God looked upon us and he invited us to come participate. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus corroborated that emphasis. He said, come to me. Not all of you who are able, not all of you who are satisfied, not all of you who are doing well. He said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. That's a blank check. Only a man who has power enough can dare to give you a blank check. He looks at you and says, take, write any amount, go to the bank. My God, Lord, do you mean what you are saying? Do you mean what you are saying? Are you sure? My burdens are heavy, my yokes are big, my crises are enormous. My problem is not one, my problem is not two. I have financial problem, I have sin problem, I have health problem, I have family problem. Are you sure you can bear my burden? Come to me. Not only you, all that are heavy laden, I will give them rest. Imagine, it's not even in one generation, it's in all generations. So from the generation he came, to the generation before, even to the generation after, come unto me, all ye that labor. I don't know if you labor, but me, I labor. I don't know if you are laden with burdens, but me, I have burdens. And so suddenly somebody stands and is crying loud. He's not giving the invitation to selected people. You know, nowadays, if you want to invite people for a program, you select people based on the value they have to offer. And even if others choose to come, there's VIP. That's where you are able to dispense enough, because you know you don't lose it there. You bring them to the meeting, whatever you give them, you will get it back in your business. There are transactions that will return it. That's not Jesus. He doesn't need anything from you. He said, let the broken, let the battered, let the shattered, let the frustrated, let those who are yoked come. Come, come, come. I am able. And just in case you didn't hear the invitation, he now added another layer. In Romans 10:13, he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. So in case you are not part of those invited, he said there is still enough space. So those who are invited can come. Those who are not invited, they too can come. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, he said, he shall be saved. If God was the one who invited us, I don't think there's any problem too big for him. I don't think there's any problem too big. And so tonight, you've got to look away from that crisis. Jesus was talking the other time, and he said, with man, it's impossible, but not with God. He now looked at them and asked them a question. I know you think you are knowledgeable. Do you think there's anything too hard for God to do? There's a research going on in heaven, on earth, and in Hades. That research is to find out one thing that is too hard for God to do. They've not found it. Is there anything too hard for the Lord to do? It was Jesus himself who was asking the question. So you people think this problem you have is so big. You think this challenge is so big? The other time, Martha and Mary called him under duress. Oh, Master, your friend is sick. They wanted to use friend so that he will feel connected and leave whatever he's doing. Come quickly or he will die. So you think I'm afraid of death. What do you mean, come quickly? I don't come quickly. I am the owner of time. Anytime I come is the right time. And he didn't show up. He was doing what he was doing. When Lazarus now died, he now told them, let's go. Lazarus is asleep. Thomas, if Lazarus is asleep, he will wake up. He said, okay, he is dead. If it's dead, then where are we going? When people die, they bury them. You don't know who you are talking to. You don't bury people when I'm around. Nothing is too much. The moment he reached the venue, Martha ran and met him on the road. If you were here, our brother would not have died. Now it's no longer your friend, it's our brother. Because they are angry with him. And they looked at him. Oh, Martha, void of understanding. Oh, Martha. So you think I can only be helpful when the person is alive? I am more helpful when they die. Because when they are alive, sometimes their unbelief resists me. When they are alive, sometimes their mental crisis becomes the body. I prefer it when they die. When they die, they are quiet. I am in charge. And he said to Martha, where is he? He said, no, don't go there. He said, where is he? He's dead. He's 4 days. He's already buried. I am. When Jesus says, I am, you will think, he will say, I am lawyer. I am doctor. I am pilot. That's mundane. That's for the realm of men. When he says, I am, he enters reality. It's only men that say, I am a barrister. Do you know who I am? I am a doctor. Do you know who I am? The governor is my brother. No. When Jesus says, I am, he enters eternity. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Whoever believeth in me shall not die. And even if he were dead, he shall live again. Where have you kept him? We are not talking about death. There's a realm beyond death. I know Hades. I know that realm. And that realm respects my voice. Martha said, by now, his brains would have decayed. Who created the brain? By now, his body would have decayed. Who created the body? I am the resurrection. I am the life. Show me where you have kept him. And when he showed up, he looked into heaven. Thank you, oh Father, that you always hear me. He turned to the grave and he shouted with majesty, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible said he that was dead came back to life. So when Jesus tells you, come, he's not trying to psych you. He's not trying to motivate you. He's not trying to encourage you. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha, Omega. He's the one who was, who is, and who is to come. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he did it before, he can do it again. And your circumstance is too small. You know what the devil does? He manipulates you to think your problem is too big. Your problem is actually too small. That's why you are the only one seeing it. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. He told you what you will receive before you came, because he's able. Sit down. Let's journey. The second basis for our faith is the fact that the price has been paid. Because Jesus is not a bully. He respects his own laws. The reason you are in that crisis in the first place is because you sinned. It's because you rebelled. And there's a law in the spirit that the wages of sin is death. So God will not undermine his own laws. And so what he did was to pay the just price, so that when he rules, he will rule as a just God. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. He said, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so in John 3:16, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But what does it mean that he was given? John the Baptist saw him coming to his baptismal service, and he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the legal basis for human frustration, that taketh away the legal foundation for human corruption, that taketh away the legal foundation for human plight, human crisis, and human sorrows. That is that Lamb. And so he endured the shame, he endured the pain, he endured death, so that when you receive from him, you will not receive it beggarly. you will receive it legally and audaciously. So when we come to receive from God, we are receiving from a standpoint of legality. God knows, the devil knows that the price has been paid. And so it's illegal for any Christian to be sick. It's illegal for any Christian to be poor. It's illegal for any Christian to be in crisis, because the price has been paid. But the devil is a rebellious spirit. So even though he knows that it's illegal for him to afflict you, he assumes you don't know. So he comes and insists that you will be in bondage. And so when you are daring to believe God, you are also making a statement: I know that the price has been paid. When Jesus hung on the cross, I hung with him. When Jesus was buried, I was buried with him. And when he rose from the dead, I rose with him in glory. And so there is no basis for me to go through this crisis anymore. Before he came, it was just. But now that he has come, he has paid the price. And because he has paid the price, I refuse to be afraid. I refuse to be weak. I refuse to be vulnerable. I refuse to be a victim, because the price has been paid. It is illegality and rebellion for the devil to try to afflict me. And I know too much to allow him. 4 days ago, or 3 days ago now, I just came back from ministering in Summit Bible Church. Great service. Preached the word of God. People were blessed. The moment I took off my jacket at home, a cloud just came upon me. And instantly, I started feeling like throwing up. As though there is a radical chemical imbalance. I wanted to throw up. I felt so sick. This thing happened in split second. And I asked myself, how can somebody be sick in a moment? What's going on here? I checked my body. And I remembered that there's a wicked spirit. If I didn't know the price was paid, I would have started telling myself, oh, maybe I dealt with something that is not legal. So the devil came back for a reprisal attack. There is no reprisal attack here. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth therein. They are saved. I am not going to be saved. I am saved. I said, you devil, get out of my body. Immediately, I said, bring food. I ate, wore clothes. I didn't pray. I went looking for somewhere to play a game. I won't pray about it. Go to hell, Satan. That's where you belong. He said, the angels that did not keep their first estate, he bound them to the bottomless pit with chains forever and ever. How did you come here? You are trespassing. Don't you know there is a law against trespass? Who told you can come here? This is God's territory. This is God's zone. Keep off. Because healing, deliverance, victory is now a legal reality. You don't beg for it. It was entrusted, willed to you. This is the basis for our believing. I'm saying this because I want to show you how to receive radically. Because some people are not receiving radically. They are too mild. And because the devil knows they are mild, he knows that there is something wrong with their understanding. There's no assurance. The moment you become sure, you become aggressive. The moment you become sure, your tolerance level goes down. You will not allow the devil for a second. Paul said, weeping may endure for the night. He said, joy comes in the morning. He now paused. Night is too long. People can die overnight. He said, our light affliction are for a moment. If it exceeds a moment, it's too long. So the more you know, the shorter your tolerance level. If the devil shows up, you say, get out! What are you doing here? The price has been paid. You have no legal basis to rigmarole around this environment. Leave here. Stop revving around. Glory to God. The price has been paid. If you study your Bible, you are going to see how these things move from one level to another. In Exodus 23:25, check that scripture for me. I want to show you something so that you will know. And I just want to use healing as a reality to show you the price has been paid. It said, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and he shall remove sickness from the midst of thee. Go to the next verse. It said, there shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in the land. He said, the number of your years you shall fulfill. There's a condition here. You shall what? Serve the Lord your God. These guys are coming out of Egypt. So all they had were promises. All they had were hopes. So they needed to serve God to receive blessings. You now proceed to Isaiah 53. And God moved to a higher level. He said, but he was wounded for our transgression. Isaiah 53 verse 5. Quickly, I'm showing you something. So you know that we have been migrating. We have been migrating. We are no longer in Exodus. No, we have left Exodus. When they were in Exodus, they needed to serve. They needed to pay something to receive something. But when they came to the cross, they didn't need to serve anymore. He said, but he was wounded. He served on your behalf. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, we were healed. In Exodus 23, you are healed because you serve. In Isaiah 53, by his stripes, you were healed. And we still didn't stop there. You now come to Romans 8:11. We are migrating. Listen, we have been migrating. We have not been in one location. But if the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he said, he shall quicken your mortal bodies. So right now, I don't need to serve. Right now, I'm not just confessing that by his stripes I was healed. There is a healing mechanism on my inside. The Holy Ghost is there. The moment I remain conscious, activities are going. So even when I'm sleeping, I'm being healed. When I'm driving, I'm being healed. When I'm praising, I'm being healed. Whatever I am doing, I am being healed. Because I have moved from Exodus 23, now I'm in Romans 8:11. The spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives here now. He lives here now. And the reason he came here is because he has paid the price. So he's no longer just in heaven. Now, tabernacles here. And so when I wake up in the morning, I say, praise the Lord, oh my soul, forget not all his benefits. There is so much available for me now. You want to know where the Holy Ghost is working? Here, right here. This is the factory of the Holy Ghost. All his creativity manifests here. All his powers manifest here. All his favor manifest here. All his love manifest here. I am the factory of the Holy Ghost. I am the theater where the Holy Ghost displays his splendor, his charisma. Why do you think we have the 9 gifts of the Spirit? The 9 gifts of the Spirit are the charismas of the Holy Ghost. So he's not just walking in me, he's now walking through me. He's now walking from me into the world because now he dwells here. And the reason that is so is because the price has been paid. So God migrated from heaven and immigrated into me. I am now God's headquarters. Somebody shout!
When you are here, when you are here, when you are here, when you are here.
Listen, there are bases for our convictions. We are not just talking mindless things. We are not just being excited because we are charismatic. No, there are bases. We were invited. The price was paid and God didn't stop there. God left some assurances. And there are 2 major assurances. The first assurance is the presence of the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8 verse 14, he told us something. Those of us who believe, he told us something. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And in verse 15, he went further to make a very profound statement. Here is what he said. Go to verse 15. He said, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. God is now my source. God is now my sustainer. God is now my strengthener. Why is that so? Because there is a spirit of adoption on my inside. I know, like I know, that I cannot be a victim. I know, like I know, that I cannot be defeated. Because it is not just about a story somebody said. There is a spirit on my inside. And that spirit is crying every day. You are the son of God. You are the Son of God. You are born of God. You have overcome the world. You carry the fullness of God. You carry the grace of God. You carry the life of God. You carry the anointing of God. I cannot be a victim. There is an assurance. There is a present hour assurance. The Holy Ghost dwells on my inside. The Holy Ghost is there. I may travel and forget my Bible, but the Holy Ghost lives in me. While I'm on the plane, the Holy Ghost is whispering to me, "Are you aware that God is in you? Are you aware that you are the light of the world? Are you aware that you are the hope of your generation? Are you aware that there is power here?" And sometimes, while you are sitting on the plane, the Lord keeps talking. He's talking, and you get charged, and you don't know where you say, "Praise God." And then you turn, you discover, you are with people who are not where you are. You are talking from Jerusalem. You are talking from Zion. You are living in the womb of the Spirit. They don't know where you come from. You dwell in Zion. That's what the Holy Ghost came to do. The Holy Ghost came to tell you that everything God has to offer is credited on your inside. You are God's bank. Suggest to you that you are blind. Then you tell them, "No, I can't be blind. God sees through my eyes." He tells you, "You are going to be crippled. You are going to be paralyzed." "I can't be paralyzed. God walks through my legs." He said, "You are dumb." "I can't be dumb. God talks through my mouth." If I was dumb, how would I be talking for God now? That's why you cannot be defeated. That's why you cannot be a victim. Because now God has made you His theater where He manifests His glory. And that's the witness of the Holy Ghost. That's the witness of the Holy Ghost. Look at Colossians. Sit down for a moment. Look at Colossians chapter 2 verse 9. Hear what the Bible said. I want to charge somebody tonight. Get offended at the devil. Get provoked at the oppression of darkness. Tell yourself, "Get out of my body, Satan. You have no place here. God already lives here. You came late. This apartment is occupied. This accommodation has already been taken. And the Holy Ghost has filled every part of me." See what the Bible said. He said, speaking about Jesus, He said, "In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And then He now went to verse 10. And He said, "And you." He's not just talking about Jesus. God dwells in Jesus bodily. And He said, "You are complete in Him." I am complete in Christ. Christ is complete in me. When I stretch my hands, God stretches His hands. When I look, God looks. When I talk, God talks. When I walk, God walks. That's why no part of me can be incapacitated. I'm complete in Christ. I manifest Christ. I image Christ to a generation. That's why I am here. He kept me here so that men can see me and see God. How can the devil hide in me? No, you can't hide anywhere. This place is taking over. This vessel is taking over. I'm saturated. I've become like the Ark of the Covenant. The presence tabernacles here. I move with the presence. I move with the glory. I move with the power. Somebody give the Lord a shout.
Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh.
Kadosh, Kadosh.
Kadosh, Kadosh.
Kadosh,
Kadosh. Kadosh, Kadosh.
Is the Lamb of God.
The Lamb of God.
Who sits upon the throne. He alone,
He alone is worthy of my praise.
Kadosh, Kadosh,
Kadosh, Kadosh,
Kadosh,
Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh,
Kadosh, Kadosh,
Kadosh, Kadosh,
Kadosh,
Kadosh, Kadosh,
is the Lamb of God,
is the Lamb of God,
who sits upon my heart. Moment. The devil made a mistake allowing you coming here. As you walk out of this place, you become a terror to darkness. As you walk out of this place, you become a terror to Satan. You will cause affliction to the demonic realm. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I decree over your life, the word of God is true through your life. We were invited. The price was paid, and there's an assurance. In Ephesians 1:13, he said, when you believed, he said you were sealed with the Holy Ghost until the day of corruption. There's an assurance. The Holy Ghost is in me, and he's not there quiet. He's talking. He's talking. That's the secret of my motivation. That's the secret of my audacity. That's the secret of my boldness. That's the secret of my fearlessness. There's an ancient spirit on my inside crying. Crying. When I am down, he tells me, are you not aware that the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, dwells on your inside? When I want to give up, he whispers from inside, are you not aware that the creator of the universe dwells on your inside? When I think it's about to fail, he whispers from the inside, do you not know that the creator of the ends of the earth is now trapped on your inside? All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He dwells on your inside. You are not alone. You are not alone. That's what it means. He's crying from within you. The psalmist knew it. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why do you think when he had attacks, he wasn't concerned about what men were thinking? He wasn't concerned about the throne. The glory is not the throne. The glory is not the people around him. He wept. Take not thy spirit from within me. A contrite and a broken spirit, thou, O Lord, cannot despise. Take not thy spirit from within me. It's more precious than the throne. It's more precious than the chariots. It's more precious than all the mighty men. Take not thy spirit. That's the secret of my power. That's the secret of my motivation. That's the secret of my enthusiasm. My continuous inspiration is the Holy Ghost. Take it not from me. I can lose the throne. I can lose the chariots. I can lose the men. But I cannot afford to lose the Holy Ghost. He's my assurance. He's my insurance. If he's there, all things are well. We have an assurance. The Holy Ghost is in you. And if he's there, then all is well. Oh, him in the air. Oh, follow me, that's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. Oh, in the air. Oh, in the air. Oh, God, oh, woman. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. The Holy Ghost is not the only insurance. There is also the insurance of the world. In Psalm 107 verse 20, he said he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their oppressions. When the word comes, all things can be changed. He sent his word. He sent his word. He said in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the Word was God. He said the same was with God in the beginning. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. John 1 from verse 1 to 4. And He said in Him was life. And He said the life was the light of men. Is that light that will make you walk through darkness? In Job 29 verse 4, it says, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secrets of God was upon my tabernacle. He said, by light, I walked through darkness. That's the light that makes you conquer even darkness. Because when the word comes, it becomes light. So when men are cast down, you say there's a lifting up. Why do you know that? Why do you have such audacity? Because the word said so. He said, thy word is a light unto my feet and is a lamp unto my path. So every time God wants to give you assurance beyond circumstances, He sends His word. He sends His word. He said, He sent His word and He healed them and delivered them from all their oppressions. The word. The word. When you meditate on scripture, it's not about religion. It's not even about preaching. You are storing raw materials. In the day of crisis, the scriptures will be quickened and it will be sent to you as an arrow. That's what the Bible meant when it said, a man's womb's quiver is full of arrows. The way children are to a warrior. That's how the word should saturate you. He said, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Every circumstance has a word that's an antidote. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded. Because there is a word for cancer. There's a word for hepatitis. There's a word for diabetes. There's a word for poverty. There's a word for affliction. There's a word for shipwreck. He said, the Lord, whom I serve and whose I am, stood by me last night. And he said, there shall be no loss of life. That became the solution to a shipwreck. Nobody died. There's a word for everything. That's why I say, let the word of God dwell in you richly. It's an insurance system. See, I'm full of the word. I think the word. I talk the word. I eat the word. I live the word. That's why I'm invincible. Tell yourself that. And as you live that way, every attack of the devil becomes a platform for manifestation. I tell you many times, the pulpit is not our platform. No, this is just an elevated place where we can address people. Your platform are the challenges you go through. They thought you will not give birth to a child. After 10 years, you give birth to triplets. The doctor concluded and said, what? You didn't have a womb. How come? There's a God that gives wombs. They say, you will not get married. Oh, everybody gives up. Now you are 36. And then, the most prominent and illustrious young man shows up. You are the one he wants to die for. And then your marriage becomes talk of the city. And they are wondering, how did it happen? You don't have to be naked. Catch a word. He said, carry with you words. Carry them. Carry them. Fill your quiver with words. The ministry is dwindling. They pursued you from your venue. All your equipment are under the tree. People pass and say, ah, we said it. All these arrogant young boys. Don't be perturbed. The word can become a roof over your head. He said, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. How can a prisoner carry the destiny of a prime minister? It's the word. It's the word. So, stay in your prison, but be rest assured, when the word comes, you are leaving the prison to the palace. And that's when you will know that even Potiphar, that you once served in his house as a houseboy, is actually somebody that will walk under you. Your word has not just come. He said, the king sent for to lose him. Even the ruler of the people. He made him lord of his house and master of his household to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. How can a prisoner be a teacher of senators until the time that his word came? When the brothers came and were apologizing, he said, relax, you meant it for evil. He said, God meant it for good. He sent me ahead to preserve a generation. That's how this life works. Catch words. Catch words. The word is catalambano. Every day, let your antenna be sharp. Some are coming out of your spirit. Some are coming out of the messages you are hearing. Thank God the message will educate you. But that's not what you are interested in. You are looking for your word. And when your word comes, you catch it. You put it in your quiver. The day of trouble, that word will come out as an arrow. Mantakiva.
And you know what? If you are waiting for the word and the word has not come, there is a way to provoke it. Lock your door. Manda kibakatoria. Verata fila katakura. I have taught words there. Manda reko stafaka. As you are praying there, after a while, your spirit will begin to search with the Holy Ghost. He said the spirit searcheth all things, even the deep things of God. And so as you are praying, the Holy Ghost is searching. After a while, he catches it and throws it to your spirit. Your spirit catches it and throws it to your soul. Your soul catches it, throws it to your mouth. And your mouth fires it at the circumstance. And situation turns around. It turns around. Marakataya. Verekakaturia. We hail you. Deceive you, you are a failure. The last 10 years may have been a prison. The last 15 years, it looks as if the ministry has been wrecked. The family has been wrecked. The business has been wrecked. Don't worry. He said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Even God, things spoil. Things that he created. God created the heavens and the earth. Suddenly, he said the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. You started the family, it was glorious. You started the business, it was glorious. You started the ministry, it was glorious. It now rests, it doesn't mean you are finished. We don't finish. He said, darkness was upon the face of the deep. And he said, the Spirit of God kept hovering upon the face of the deep. And suddenly God said, light be. Ayakataka. After a while, let the dry ground appear. After a while, and a new creation, more excellent than the old, appeared. If God created the earth and it failed, God recreated it. Do you think you will start something and it will not fail? That it failed does not mean you have ended. It means your spirit needs to brood. When your spirit hovers for a while, the word will comfort. And if the word comforts, oh my God, a new earth can appear. Time is sprinting. These are the basis. So listen, some of the things I want to share with you now may sound radical, may sound fanatical, but there's a basis for it. We are not just excited people. Everything we do has a spiritual foundation. That's why I told you, even when we laugh, it's a weapon. They say him that sits in the heaven shall laugh, and he will put confusion in the camp of the enemy. He said, when the children of Israel shouted, the walls of Jericho went down. We are not fanatics. We are just operating by mysteries. The world may not understand it, but the result, we always confound them. That this thing that looks foolish, therein is the signature of the immortals. To men, it may look foolish, but in the spirit, there are mysteries in manifestation. Four ways of radically taking over that which is yours. Number one, have an acute understanding. Don't know passively. The problem with many people is they don't know well. They know things haphazardly and passively. He said somewhere, he did some. Forget that. Listen, take your time. Build proper understanding. Faith comes naturally to those with understanding. I'm telling you, take your time. Sit on that truth. Get it and get it well. The moment understanding comes, you will see that you have become a commander. Everything you are going through didn't start with you. There are many case studies in scriptures and in history. Go and find out what they did. And in case you don't have that time, there are two basic things you must know, much more than you know your name. Number one, know that God can. And number two, know that God is willing. If you know these two things and know it well, no circumstance will swallow you. God can, and God is willing. See, know that one more than you know your name.
There are those who don't know God can. And there are those who know God can, but they don't know God is willing. So in the face of circumstance, their faith begins to dwindle. Because your faith will always manifest to the degree of your understanding. This is why you must take your time. Dig into truth. Your faith will become radical. In Jeremiah 32:27, I quoted for you already, showing you that God can. Himself said, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me to do? In Matthew 19:26, he said, with man, it's impossible. He said, but with God, all things are possible. Listen, sit down. If you will be brainwashed, be brainwashed. But come to that point where you are persuaded God can. And after your persuasion that God can, be persuaded also that God is willing. In Matthew 8, from verse 1 to 3, Jesus was coming down from the mountain. After teaching for 3 days and 3 nights, he should have been exhausted. It was okay for him to say, listen, I'm tired. Nothing would have been wrong with it. Suddenly, a man with a withered hand came to him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me whole. Jesus said, yes, I am willing. Stretch your hand. Go and read the whole synoptic gospel. There was never a time that Jesus was not willing to help. His compassion won't let him. That problem you are going through, God was willing before you became willing to be healed. You just don't have acute understanding. So the first way to become radical in taking your possession is to make sure that your understanding is not defective. If you get your understanding right, you can get anything right. Number two, have an aggressive resolve to receive. Some people, when they should receive, that's when they become casual. That's when they become reluctant. That's when they become calm. And the devil knows how to do it. You are preparing all your life for that moment. When you now come, he now whispers to you, see, everybody is behaving themselves orderly. Be careful. Are you the only person here? Take it easy. Take what easy? Take what? Did the people who came here told you they came with the magnitude of my problem? What do you mean by take it easy? Take it easy means I must get it now. Because if I don't get it now, the next 10 years can be sorrow. So everybody can wear a suit. Their life can be dim. They can cross their legs as though they studied in Harvard. My brother, when it's the moment of the spirit, forget everybody. Get brutal. He said, the kingdom of God suffered violence. He said, only the violent, only. They are the ones that take it. Because many times in your life, you will have to take it by force. It's only on few occasions that you will not need force. He said, the violent, they take it by force. I will show you 4 levels here under aggressive receiving. The first level is to find out if he's willing. And I've mentioned that already. You see, the man came. Jesus had his time. So he could give a speech. Lord, look at my hand. If you are willing, you can make me whole. That's level 1. If you receive there, know that day mercy was much. And that's what happened to that man. Nobody was thronging Jesus. Nobody was troubling Jesus. Jesus was talking with him. Lord, if you are willing. That's the first level. But grow from that level. I can tell you, more than 70% of people who need God, that's where they are. Every day they kneel down. Father, if you are willing, this thing will go. Father, please, if you are willing, make me whole. That level of aggression is too weak for destiny. Don't operate at the level of if you are willing. See, the Bible has shown us that he's willing. Every sick person that met Jesus, he was willing. Everybody who died and Jesus was around, he was willing. He dealt with every circumstance he met. He was always willing. So stop the if you are willing level. That level is not aggressive enough. That crisis will remain with you for a long time. Go up to the second level. I must get his attention now. The man who says, I must get God's attention and I must get God to do it now is more aggressive than the one who is saying, Lord, if you are healing, willing. And I show you very quickly. Luke 18:35. You hear the story of Bartimaeus. The guy had a crisis. until the whole city began to name him after his crisis. They called him blind Bartimaeus. Do you know the shame and the pain he must have gone through? They now forget about every other thing you are. The easiest way to recognize you in the whole city is to use your circumstance. And in those days, they were very good at doing that. The woman with the issue of blood. They call people based on their crisis. What kind of sympathyless people are those? Blind Bartimaeus. Telling him every day you are blind, you are an invalid. In fact, if you study the story of the pool of Bethesda, they say there they kept many folks that were invalids. They called them invalids. And they knew that's how they called them. Bartimaeus became tired. I'm tired of this surname. I am not blind Bartimaeus. I am Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And you must call me by my surname. So when he heard that Jesus was coming out of Jericho, he threw away comportment. Thou son of David! Thou son of David! Have mercy on me. Quickly people came. Shut up! Look at you. So you think that level of entourage, they will stop because of you. Are you not aware that you are invalid? I'm not invalid in God's care. Men may call me invalid, but I have something in God's agenda. As far as God is concerned, I'm not invalid. He said when they tried to shut him up, he turned to the other side. Oh, son of David, have mercy! Until he stopped God's protocol. God's program can stop because of you. God's program can stop because of you. Hope you know, when Jesus is moving, it's called revival. That's the move of God on earth, the whole earth at that time. So the only revival happening, that was it. And he left Jericho, going to another city with revival. A man stopped him. You must attend to me now, Lord. Because I am also your child. I'm not saying it because I can command you, but I'm drawing from my authority as a child. As a seed of Abraham. Have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and looked at him. Said, come. Suddenly the people who were stopping him now say, go, go. When God begins to visit you, everybody becomes your friend. If you allow them to intimidate you, you will not see them celebrate you. So when they try to intimidate you, refuse. After a while, they will celebrate you. And he showed up and God gave him a blank check. What do you want? He said that I might see again. I wish he was wiser. He knew some things, but he didn't know much. He knew how to get God's attention, but he didn't know how to take. What do you want? My God. I will ask him first. Where is the Chronicles where you wrote my destiny? Bring it. I want everything there. Everything. Not one dot will be missing. Everything. Everything that was written concerning me, release all now. Now, all of them. Not one. He said that I might see again. He said, go, thy faith has made thee whole. And the man started saying. The moral of the story is that when you become radical, God hears you. If you don't allow anything intimidate you, you are unashamedly crying and insisting, God will show up. You know why? He's your father. You can't command him, but his compassion has a room for you. He's your father. And he sees it as his responsibility to make sure you are the best. Now, there is another level, even more than this, in aggression. There's a level where you get to and you say, I don't even need his attention. So long as he's around, I will take my own share. Because I may shout and I may lose my voice. But I will insist, if I come to the parameter where he is, so long as he's present, I will receive mine. And that was the story of the woman with the issue of blood. Matthew 9, 20 to 22. The Bible said the woman said, he doesn't need to see me. I don't need to call him. If I may but touch the hem of his garment. So somebody is coming to a miracle service like this. He says, if only I can see that auditorium, I'm fine. If I come under that worship, I will not go out the same. I don't need to touch anybody. I don't need anybody to touch me. Listen, some people come for services like this. They want you to hug them. They want you to touch them. They are fighting. See, that's the level, but that's still low. I entered here.
The word of God is spoken here. The presence of God is here. Even if nobody knew I came, I will go with it. I will go with so much. And as you are preparing your spirit, your capacity to receive is being enlarged. And so you came for the meeting, you sat on the last row, but you were the one blessed more than everybody. Because you don't take by proximity, you take by the capacity of faith you came with. People were thronging Jesus. She only touched the hem of his garment. And when Jesus said, "Who touched me?" The apostles looked at him and said, men are thronging you on every side. What do you mean, who touched me? Everybody is touching you, sir. Everybody is pressing you. You say, no, there are touches and there are other kinds of touches. There is somebody who came here with a hunger to take everything. I had to trap some because the whole virtue was about to be done. Who touched me? And the woman came trembling. I am the one. And he looked at her and said, daughter. See, when you begin to operate like that, God knows you are his child. Because now there is audacity. Only children believe their parents with audacity. When your child comes to you, he can ask for anything. A man who is looking for lunch for his family, a child comes and says, give me an aeroplane. Because he saw it in the textbook. And if a father tells him, I will buy you an aeroplane, the next day he goes to school, he tells his friend, don't worry, very soon, my father will buy me an aeroplane. The question is, has your father entered the aeroplane before? But the child doesn't care. He believes with audacity. Daughter, great is thy faith, and thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. And the woman left. And that was glorious. But there is a level superior to that. I'm showing you degrees of aggression. So that if you are looking for something from God, you will know when to change the gears. Don't sit in one place for 5 years praying, Lord, if it is your will, make me whole. Lord, if it is your will, prosper me. It is his will. Move from that level. Enter the level of Son of David. Have mercy. I am also here. You sent your word to Jacob, enlightened upon Israel. I refuse to be exonerated from your program. And if that's not working, go a bit further. Father, because you are present, I have taken my own. And as you are going, the integrity of God won't let you go. He will say, daughter, take it. You have believed too much not to have it. And there is yet another level. That's the level of the Canaanite woman. Matthew 15:22. She kept drunking Jesus. Heal my daughter. Heal my daughter. And Jesus looked at her and said, I didn't come for your kind. I came for those in the household of Jacob. And he said, heal my daughter. Jesus said, no, it is not fit to give the food that belongs to the children to dogs. And the woman told Jesus, even the crumbs that fall from the table, the dogs are fit to eat them. No matter how greedy the house owner is, at least something must fall from the table. And the dogs are entitled to that one. So if you meet God, he won't refuse. But there is a level you get to that you say, in case he refuses, I will insist. Because his will may not capture it, but his compassion will capture it. Anything that is not captured in God's will, his compassion is large enough to capture it. Because according to divine program, at that time, Jesus was only out to save the Jews. Because the Holy Ghost was still trapped in him. It was after resurrection, when the Holy Ghost is released, that the Gentiles will be included. But the woman said, if we wait until you go to the cross, go to the grave and wake up, my daughter will die. I don't have that luxury. If it is not in the program of your will, let your compassion make it available. I will not go. And Jesus looked at her and said, woman, great is thy faith. Go, thy daughter be made whole. I don't know what you came here with tonight, but listen, you will have it if you tell yourself, I will not use that door until I receive my answer. I came in through that door, but I'm not going back the same. So, if it is the will level, I pass through. If it is the attention level, I pass through. If it is the touching level, I pass through. I insist that I must be taught. If they like, they should say, God wants to heal 10 people. I am one of the 10. And in case they say one, I am that one. Because me and God know I won't live here until I am taught. See, when you get to that level, God begins to, it is God that will now draw you. Jesus made a sermon out of her life. There were only two people that Jesus commended their faith as great. She was one of them. Woman, great is thy faith. Go thy way. Thy child is fine. That's how to receive from God. Be radical. This religious prayer of crying, weeping, oh Father, if it is your will, 5 years has passed. You are saying if it's your will, go and check the Bible. His will is clear. He was wounded for your transgression. He was bruised for your iniquity. The chastisement of his of him was of his of Christ was your peace. By his stripes you were made whole. That's his will. You now take it aggressively. And when you pass this level, there is a third thing. Now turn and face the devil. Because that rebellious being will always come. The moment the fibroid disappears, the devil now comes and tells you, you think it will go like that? The moment the cancer goes, the devil will always come. He wants to insist that you are kept in captivity. Tell yourself, listen, if there's one person that should never see your smile all your life, is the devil. Don't joke with him. Don't tolerate him. Don't accommodate him. Paul said in Ephesians 4:27, giving no place to the devil. The moment God visits you, build a defense against the devil. He will come. And if you take it easy, the devil is not only attacking you, he's attacking your purpose and he's attacking God's program. Because the devil knows that if you are well, you will serve God. If you are rich, you will give it to God. He knows. All of you sitting here, there's not one of you that God gives $1 million today that you want to go and open a club. No. If God gives you $1 million, at least $100,000 is already tight. Before you give for soul winning, before you give for crusade. So the devil knows that if you are doing well, the kingdom will do well. So when he's attacking you, he's attacking the program of God. When you are fighting the devil, you are not just fighting for yourself. You are fighting for God's program. The devil knows if you are healthy, you will preach to the sick. He knows. If you are healthy, you will win souls. So he wants you to be sick. So when you are sick, you can't go out for soul winning. Then soul winning suffers. And so when you meet the devil, use the weapons of the kingdom. Fight him like a creature fighting God's program. My health is not just about me. It's about the advancement of God's kingdom. I'm talking to you now because I'm healthy. If I were in the hospital, do you think I'll be here preaching? And so when the devil comes for my help, I don't only fight because I need to be aware. I invoke the kingdom. Devil, this man you are coming for is a voice in the kingdom. So you cannot shut God's voice. And therefore, in the name of Jesus, be bound. Get out of this vicinity. I will fight it like kingdom versus kingdom. Program versus program. Because it's an attack on my health, it's an attack on God's kingdom. Some people are casual with the devil. You are dealing with the devil. You lie down on your bed in your pajamas. Every demon, get out of here. You foul spirit, in the name of Jesus, be there. You be demon of hell, don't come near this house again. Really? You know what the demon will do? They will blow on your face. When you sleep, they will now start a party, a banquet in your parlor. When it is the devil, listen, you can be praying to God and tell God, I love you, Lord. I honor you. I worship you. I bless your name. But when you remember the devil, Manta, Pekakatoria, Aragata, you devil from hell, in the name of Jesus, get out of this place. You don't approach your enemies casually. All your defenses must be at alert. Even if you were feeling sleepy before, go to the bathroom, wash your face, brush your teeth, you will become sober. Mana, pera, kata, varagatagatiat, bakantoriata. Any bird that flies over this house dies. You don't know what the Bible said? He said, although the enemy may come in, he said, but like a flood. That's the way God responds. It's not the enemy that comes in like a flood. It is the standard of God that is raising like a flood. God flushes him out. No joke with the devil. Devil, that wicked spirit that enjoys when people are in pain, that enjoys when people die, that enjoys when people are tormented. Every ounce of grace, every strength in your spirit muscle it together. Matek, kakok, takatari, ragakata, beragagana, in the barusa vakate, aberakatoa. You devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
We said all to you. To your ups and go to your plants, go to your ways. We send all to you. Hey, set up the God. Hey, we send all.
We send all to you.
Go to your ups and go to your plants, go to your ways.
We send all to you.
Hey, set up the God. Hey, we send all.
We send all to you.
Go to your ups and go to your plants.
We send all to you.
Set up because
we send all.
We send all to you.
All to your work
and all to your plans. All to your work.
We send all to you.
Set up because
somebody shout.
We send all. Hey, all to your work and all to your plans. All to your work. We send all to you.
We heard the story of Smith Wigglesworth. Satan came into his parlor, sat on his rocking chair, and was scattering everything in the baloo at the poor. And the guy was upstairs hearing some strange sound. What creature is here? And he came to his parlor and saw a dark demonic prince scattering things. Immediately he came alive. How did you come here? In the name of Jesus, get out! And the devil wanted to run. He now remembered who will fix the house. Come back here. When the thief be caught, he will pay back sevenfold. Who are you going to scatter for me to repair? Come back here. In the name of Jesus, fix this parlor and get out from here. Master, you operate. Don't joke with the devil. Paul said we wrestle. When you meet the devil, come like a fighter. Come like a warrior. Be militant. Because they are celebrating somewhere because of your failure. So when you are dealing with the devil, make sure the whole world knows about it. That's why when Jesus dealt with it, the Bible said he was spoiled. That means every aspect was taken. And he said, a public show was made of him. That creature is too wicked to be dealt with in secret. Publicly deal with the devil, destroy his work, and celebrate it. That's how to take aggressively. See, be angry with the devil. The Bible said concerning Jesus, it said, because thou lovest righteousness and hatest. It's not just iniquity. It's everything that is of the devil. Jesus hates it. I hate sickness, I hate poverty, I hate pain, I hate depression, I hate frustration. One of our sisters, almost 10 years of depression. She came here, see her every time, she's gloomy. I pray for her, the thing goes, after 2 days it returns. One day I became angry, and I literally came to assault the devil. I held her, I was walking with her. Because the provocation in my spirit was not enough. I know this one is not to say go out. I was walking with her and was praying. Because I was looking at her condition and holy anger was being stirred in my spirit. When I knew I was sufficiently vexed, I turned to the spirit of depression. What I told that spirit that day, that spirit will not come to anybody in her lineage again. A week later, I saw her with her husband, full of smiles. Her youth returned to her and she began to bask in the glory. So this is how beautiful you are. The devil put upon her the garment of heaviness and was enjoying her torment. Hear this. Somebody must become aggressive with Satan. Why do you think Jesus said we cast out devils? We don't negotiate. Cast is like kicking them out. Get out of this place. You foul spirit. Aggression. Train your spirit to be angry with Satan. Train your spirit. Don't tolerate Satan. Be aggressive with the devil. That murderous liar. Be offended at his presence.
after you take what is yours. And there are some people that the devil is afraid of coming close to them, because every time he comes, there's casualty in hell. And finally, when you are militant with the devil, put on the garment of praise. Be radical about thanking God. Many people can't receive because they are ashamed of publicly declaring what God has done for them. They are timid about giving God thanks. Listen, be generous when it has to do with thanking God. Be gracious about it. Celebrate it. Celebrate it. That's why sometimes the way some of you come for Thanksgiving service, I look at you, I say, they don't understand. Why do you think I make sure I wear Abada every Thanksgiving? I want the devil to know that I know I'm being blessed, and there's nothing he can do about it. Because apart from the fact that your Thanksgiving glorify God, he mocks the devil. You wanted me dead. Here I am, basking in life. You wanted me crying. Here I am, full of joy. You wanted me frustrated. Here I am, moving from one level of glory to another. You wanted me sick. Here I am, full of health and vitality. Shame on you, Satan. Shame on you, Satan. I'm not ashamed to celebrate. I am happy. I am full of glory. And I will celebrate God publicly with a heart. I will celebrate God with a dance. I will celebrate God with singing. That's why the Bible said, let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Somebody give the Lord a shout. Somebody shout glory! Shout glory! Shout glory! Hear me! Tonight is your night. I don't know if you are radical. I don't know if your spirit is charged. But hear me, even before I came for this service, I was already charged. My spirit was angry with the devil. My spirit was ready for encounters. My spirit was ready for testimonies, miracles, signs and wonders. If you are like me tonight, lift your hand and shout, I take my miracle by power. I don't know what you came with, but hear this. God is able. God is willing. And God is ready. If your faith is ready, God is ready. And when your faith catches it, the devil can't take it from you. And when you receive it, you will dance, you will celebrate, and you will give God praise. Are you ready? If you are ready, shout glory! Lift your right hand towards heaven. Oh God, be the glory.
Great things He has done. So love be the one that He gave us the Son. That is life that God took for sin and all through the life gate that walk. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the church hear Him. Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the fire through Jesus.
Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord.
something you don't want to leave here with tonight, lift it up before the Lord now. He said, cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. If there's any challenge you don't want lingering from tonight, present it to the Lord now. I want to make a declaration for afflictions to be lifted. I want to make declarations for chains to break. Lift it up tonight. The Lord is already telling me, there's a lady here with pains on the breast. It's towards my left ear. And that affliction will leave you now forever. Forever, forever. It will never come back again. Present those crises to the Lord now.
Give him the glory. Praise he has done. To God be the glory.
Praise he has done. So the Lord be the one that he gave us his sword. Who yielded his life and not all for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh God,
come to the Lord now. This is the moment you have been waiting for. It could be business, it could be health crisis, it could be relational crisis, it could be ministry related. This is your hour.
Glory and the honor.
Talk to Jesus now.
Lift a voice in worship. And we bless
on ground, online, those of you following
you
online, this is your hour. Don't be distracted. God will touch you right there in your house.
As we leave the Lord in worship, as we bless your holy name.
You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you.
Lift your hands toward heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every spirit of sickness and infirmity. I command you now, by the power of the resurrected Christ, and in the name of Jesus, come out of their bodies. Come out of their bodies. I command the chains of sickness now, break from off their lives. Break from off their lives. I command ear conditions be healed. Eye conditions be healed. Organ infections be healed. Bone conditions be healed. Everyone oppressed of demons, their movements in your bodies right now, in the name of Jesus, I command all those movements, come out of their bodies. I speak over businesses, every closed door, every closed gate, now in the name of Jesus, open, 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 open. I command growths and tumors, boils, pile, cancer, every form of tumor in the body, in the name of Jesus, disappear now. Disappear now. Disappear now. I command every organ infection, heart, kidney, liver, lung, skin, in the name of Jesus, be healed now. Be healed now. I address diabetes. I address hepatitis. I address cancer. In the name of Jesus, come out of their bodies. I speak to every form of pain. Arthritis pain, joint pains, bone pains, tendon pains, whatever they are called. Right now, let every pain come out of your body. I speak to broken bones. I speak to ligaments, tendons, weak bones, paralyzed bones. In the name of Jesus, receive life.
be healed in the name of Jesus. Eyes that were suffering defects now begin to see clearly. Ears that were affected now hear clearly. Tumors, leave now. Pains, go now. Blood, be cleansed now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Please lift your hands and honor the Lord. Be sensitive. The Holy Ghost is touching people now. Please, those of you online, I beg you, be sensitive. God is healing people. Eye conditions, ear conditions, tumors in the body, pains are leaving people right now. Please be sensitive. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Can we be silent for a moment? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Move amongst your people. Touch them now and heal them. Touch them now and heal them. Touch them now and heal them. Thank you, Father. The Lord is touching people's eyes, people's ears. The Lord is cleansing people's blood. Even those who came with bone conditions, you couldn't walk. The Lord is touching you now. The Lord is touching you. Receive your healing. Receive your healing. Blood conditions are being healed. Infections in the body, private regions, are being cleansed. Itching, all kinds of rashes, they are disappearing now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. You are great. You do miracles.
So great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles.
Now go ahead and do what you couldn't do before. Do what you couldn't do.
Like you.
Eyes begin to see. Ears hear.
There is no one else like
walk, begin to walk.
You are great. You don't be a so great.
Demons have been bound
no
and cast
like
out of you.
No.
Heaven, just appreciate the Lord 1 minute. Thank Him for what He has done. And as we are thanking Him, you are receiving. As we are thanking Him, you are receiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Now check your bodies quickly. You couldn't hear, you can hear. A growth has left you. You couldn't see, you are seeing. You had itches, you had pains. Something has happened to you. You couldn't walk. Try to walk, you can walk. If you have noticed a change, can I see your right hand? Can you wave at me? You have noticed a change already? Yes, I'm seeing hands. Can you wave at me? You have noticed a change. You have noticed a change. Wave at me. Meanwhile, those of you who are yet to keep exercising your faith, exercise your faith. Exercise your faith. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Can I see that hand one more time? You have noticed a change, a tangible change. Now, those of you waving, can you come to the altar quickly? We may not be able to take all the testimonies, but just come to the altar. Come to the altar. Meet me here first. Those of you watching online, I want you to also check. You have noticed a change. Something has happened to you. Let them come up. Something has happened to you. Check. They are going to put a number online now. Send us a WhatsApp message. Send us a WhatsApp message. Exercise your faith. Don't be dumb. Exercise your faith.
There is no one else like you.
that you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like glory.
Keep checking.
Glory. Glory to the Lamb.
Don't be distracted. God is still talking, touching people.
Glory. Glory. Glory to the Lamb. For you.
For you are glory.
And glory to be praised. You are the Lamb.
So mommy here had a dream about a year ago,
yes,
that she fought with someone in that dream. But she defeated the person, but she had a blow on her chest.
You had a blow on your chest?
Yes. For 1 year now, she's been having that pain in her chest.
Where she was punched.
Where she was punched in the dream. But while you declared and the prayer was ongoing and you made those declarations, she said the pain checked out and she cannot feel it anymore.
Someone punched you in the dream. How severe was this pain?
It's coming from my heart to the back. Sometimes I can't sleep.
Sometimes you can't even sleep.
Yes.
And you came with that pain.
Yes.
But right now it is gone.
Even when I was coming, the pain was severe. I was sleeping.
And it is gone now.
Yes.
It's permanent in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yes, please. She fell three times. Joint pains. You were diagnosed with arthritis. Give her the mic. Because of the trauma. You are diagnosed with arthritis. The ligaments were giving you problems. You were limping. How were you walking when you were coming? That's how bad it was. What happened now? Yes. Wow. Give the Lord a shout. Never limping again. It's permanent in the name of Jesus. Two more quickly.
Yes, sir. For 20 years now.
20 years.
She couldn't see anything that was even being projected.
You couldn't see anything projected.
That was how bad the eye condition
for 20 years.
20 years.
That means you couldn't read
from
anything.
When she was 5 years.
From when you were 5. Yes.
But
what happened to you now?
I can see clearly.
You can see clearly. Somebody give the Lord a big shout. Talk to me.
Apostle, this lady had neck pain for over 4 years. But tonight, while the declarations was ongoing, the pain checked back to her.
Permanent in the name of Jesus. This is your first time. What's that? Of why do you people come up with these names? To create bodies. For how long? Indomesia hyperplasia. For 2 months. What happened now? You were still lying down. But what happened to you now? Come on, that's the spirit. That's the aggression. Permanent in the name of Jesus. Put your hands on your tummy. Thank you, Father. Permanent in the name of Jesus.
Apostle, there's a miracle here.
Talk to me.
This lady has had pie for more than 10 years.
You've had pie?
Yes.
Almost 20 years. I'm seeing a lady with a crutch there. Tell her to lift it and start walking. Lift it and start walking. Why did you go outside when God was touching people? See how the devil deceived people. When prayers were going on, you went out. And what kind of urine is that? Walk up here.
Something happened. Now I know He touched me and made me whole. He touched me.
He touched me.
He touched me.
I know
what joy fills my soul.
Something happened.
Now I know He touched me.
Do you feel pain on that leg before? You do feel pain. I command every pain to go now. Go in the name of Jesus. Bone, receive strength. Walk without pain. Don't be afraid. Do you still feel the pain? Be sure. Don't try to be nice. Don't try to be polite. Walk, let's see. That's the first level. Do you still feel the pain?
No, sir.
You want to do without this? Now let me pray. This bone will straighten. Yes. As you walk out from here, every day from now till the next 7 days, the bone will be straightening. It will be growing. It will be straightening. The pain is gone. In the name of Jesus, I correct this bone. Healed in the name of Jesus. Straighten in the name of Jesus. Grow out in the name of Jesus. Walk without pain. You will never use this again.
I know what joy fills my soul.
Something happened.
Something happened.
He touched me. I know what joy that fills my soul. Oh, something.
I'll see you again. And your mouth will be filled with laughter. In the name of Jesus, give the Lord a big shout. You are blessed. You can drop this somewhere. What happened to her?
I've had piles for almost 20 years.
You've had piles for almost 20 years.
Yes, I almost didn't come today because I had to just lie down this afternoon.
That's a terrible torment.
Yes.
Every time you are pressed, you become afraid. It's such a frustration. What happened now, my sister?
I can't feel the pain. I'm trying to. I
you are checking. You can't find it.
Yes, sir.
You can't find it.
I'm not feeling it.
You are checked. Have you checked well?
I've checked well.
Have you checked well?
Yes, sir.
Somebody give the Lord a shout. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Is there anybody here who was taught you had an eye condition? Eye condition. Yes, we've taken your testimony. Let's hear two of them quickly. How about online? What's happening online? Talk to me. Give me one testimony from the internet.
Good evening, Apostle. My name is Fidelis Ina Emeka. I'm healed of pile for 2 years.
Another pile for 2 years. Watching online.
Inflammation of the knee.
Wait a minute. One after the other. Your healing is permanent in the name of Jesus. Let's hear the second one.
Inflammation of the knee. Healed.
Inflammation of the knee.
Healed.
Glory to God.
So many other testimonies coming in.
Collect them. We take them in subsequent services. Let me just hear this eye issue.
He couldn't as much as look with this right eye.
You couldn't see with the right eye?
Even while coming.
Was he partially blind or completely?
In 2016.
2016?
Yes, so a particle of bottle break and enter inside my eyes. So
a particle of bottle broke, entered his eyes.
Yes.
And since then, you couldn't see with that eye?
Since that time, after they take me to hospital, you know, after a doctor confirmed that the thing had been removed, the thing gave me small sign inside. And every beginning of the month, I cannot use this eyes and look at the light.
Can you say demonic operation? What happened now?
So today, I come out here because this is my first time here.
Yes.
So
when it happens to first timers, you know that nobody is trying to do anything here.
So I always see you on YouTube. So today, being told that my friend come to Barnes for Flesing. So
you will never go to Fles again. You are arrested for Jesus. Can you imagine? On a Sunday evening. Power of God. Let there be a fresh hunger. In the name of Jesus. Complete your testimony.
So as we are standing at the junction, three of my friends, you know, I just see a white coaster that just come at the service lane. I don't know what just told me to cross the other side. You know, I just crossed. I told them that I'm going to, can I join them? They say, church bus. So I said, church bus. Okay, let me join. Which church? They say, Jesus Encounter.
No, Encounter Jesus.
Encounter Jesus.
Those of you who pay for buses, you are the one who sponsored this miracle.
So,
you saved him from going to flex. What do you use to flex with? A Star Lager beer. Look at strange appetite. But God will use you for His glory. What happened to your eye now?
So now, as the prayer was going on, you were declaring and just the eyes that is blindly open. You know, as I just pray, I say, God, I cannot come here. Here is a Jesus Encounter ministry to and go back with it again. And as I just open my eyes, I see this light and not.
Oh, me man, I rekele di man. Oh, me man, I rekele. Oh, me man, I rekele di man. Oh, me man, chimo na rekele.
Oh, me man.
Give the Lord a show. What happened? 1 minute. What happened?
He's been using glasses now for over 2 years.
You've been using glasses for over 2 years.
You can't as much as see without the glasses.
You can't see without the glasses.
To be desperate for the mirror, as if he knew your message, he left the glasses at home.
That is it.
And right now he can see
clearly. Somebody say shame on Satan.
While declarations were going on, the eyes clenched.
For 2 years you were using glasses.
You can't see without
the glasses. You can't see without the glasses. Help me, brother. What happened? We're out of time. Yes, please. That's right. You had a lump on your breast? You had a lump? She had gone to 3 hospitals? She had lumps on each breast. confirmed clinically. You can't do no surgery by the power of the Holy Ghost. This is also your first time. Is it that the first timers are the ones who came ready? Tell yourself, I will collect my own. What happened? Give her the mic. The lumps are gone. You can't feel the pain, and you are looking like that. Jama me, jama. 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 Jama me. Give the Lord a show. So we have some doctors here. At the end, you can talk to them. They will verify, confirm, and we give God the praise. Tell me one or two things from the internet. There is fire online.
Left ears
dead for 20 years. Mateka Katoria. Bararata Tetak. Batatiria Katona. The ear popped open. Somebody give the Lord a shout. Write your testimonies down. We'll take them in subsequent services. God bless you. Your healings are permanent in the name. What did God do for you, my brother? It's gone. Write it down. Your healings are permanent in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands toward heaven. Some of you, God is giving you financial healings and breakthroughs. Some of you, businesses that crippled, the power of God is coming upon you to resurrect them. Ministries, institutions that shut down, the power of God is coming to resurrect them. I decree and declare, by the power of the risen Christ, let there be resurrection now. For some of you, vital relationships that should determine your next level, that the devil cut off your life, God is restoring them. And God is shifting you to higher pedestals. In the name of Jesus, I speak over you. The anointing of the Spirit will mantle you. Graces that have not been seen in your bloodline. Graces that have not been seen from where you came from. Manifest them in brilliant colors now. In the name of Jesus. Help mama, help mama, help mama. I just want to be where you are.
Dwelling daily in your presence. I don't know the word from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are. In your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I wanna be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory.
Toward heaven, the Lord is telling me to tell someone there will be a new beginning. There will be a new beginning. doors that were shut will open. Businesses, institutions, ministries that crumbled in your hand will resurrect. And can I pray for someone? There's an anointing that will come on someone now. It will break patterns, ancestral patterns that has caused limitations over your bloodline. Because God is raising you as a carpenter that will cut off the horns that has limited men. Father, the breaker's anointing. That anointing that lifts radically without recourse to protocol. Everyone you are anointing afresh to bring about family deliverances and emancipation. Lord, on ground, online, I release that fire now. Take it! Thank you, Holy Spirit. Help them. Help them. Help them. Take that fire. I break bondages. I stop patterns, demonic patterns. I end oppression by the Spirit of the living God. Step into light and reign in righteousness. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. As you leave this service, take time to pray. Pray in the Spirit for some time. Don't hover around. Just go home and pray. Some of you, encounters have been staged for you. As you depart from here, that atmosphere will go with you to your home. Because you need to carry it to your home. Something new is about to begin. And so I commend you to God. And unto the word of His grace, which is able to keep you and to give you an inheritance amongst them which are sanctified.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that He died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said these prayers, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.